Happy Friday, Webby. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good morning, boys. Yeah, I love nothing more than just turning down the window and letting my hair flow.
I think we go to the same hairdresser, Webby.
Yes, exactly. So, mate, you're smashing it this morning. You're filling in very ably for Michael Clark at the moment.
Have you seen him, Webby? I don't know where he is.
See him.
Have you got an idea where he is?
Well, he's in North. I'm assuming it's in far North Queensland somewhere. But he's sort of living. I'm living vicariously through his Instagram account, and you know, and all these little cryptic messages about his love life that the tabloid media are picking up, and it's, you know, it's.
He's going to cop some on Monday when he gets back.
I will be letting him know next Friday. While we keep the big wheels of the big sports breakfast turning, he's up there living large for a week. Good on him.
Exactly right. Jeez, I wish I was with him.
Gee, going to be an easy.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind switching out.
It'd be nice and warm up there at the moment.
So warm. Hey, Webby, what did you make of the game last night?
I thought it was a cracker. I thought it was one of the best wins from any team I've seen in a long time, given what the Raiders are up against in terms of injuries and the five-day turnaround that Ricky Stewart, their coach, let us all know ad nauseum for about a week, or for the last 5 days at least. I thought the turning point for me, which will sound a little bit weird, in the 53rd minute, they were down 14-12. They got a penalty in front. Instead of doing what every other team would do, and take the 2 points. They end up going for the try and were rewarded straight away with George Williams scoring next to the post. And I stood up in my UGG boots in my lounge room and applauded because you just don't see football teams do that anymore. And then I said, sit down, you gibber, because there's no one else around watching you play. But I thought that was a real turning point. I know Ikavalu scored shortly after, but for mine, that just said to me that Canberra weren't there to just hold out the Roosters last night. They were there to win, and that's exactly what they did. They had some great performers across the park. They've written off $5, I think, they started that game. So whoever got on the Raiders last night would be cheering this morning because it was a nice, healthy price. But, no, it was one of Canberra's greater wins. I spoke to Ricky last week. I did a big piece on the evolution of coaching in the NRL in the Herald last Saturday, and I talked to Ricky at length for the piece, and he said a couple of things that stood out as I watched that game. He said I've mellowed. Yeah, good. I'm not entirely sure whether that's the case. But he also said the main thing that he does when he coaches, he doesn't want his players to like him. He wants them to trust him. And you could tell by that performance last night that they implicitly trust their coach. So it was a great win for Canberra.
Well, the eagle-eyed Phil is just text in Webby. He goes, hey, Webby, excellent article on the Godfathers of Coaching. Oh, so there you go. Good
to see someone's reading it.
Feedback.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate it.
Now, with that, though, I can't remember the last time the Roosters made that many mistakes, Webby.
No. Well, Trent Robinson talked about it afterwards. He was shaking his head in disbelief at how, and it's not the first time. They've been making a few errors of late in a few matches, particularly that game against the Storm, which they lost in Golden Point. It's very un-Roosters-like in terms of their handling. And as Robbo said afterwards, the main concern was the points they leaked right through the middle of the ruck. It's very un-Roosters-like, but if there's any team that's going to turn it around, it'll be the Chooks.
Yeah, I reckon they can and will. Talking about turning things around, another week of a Bulldogs drama. Obviously, the talk is that Trent Barrett we'll get that position. What are you hearing?
It's funny. I remember talking on this show exactly a week ago saying the Bulldogs need to back or sack Dean Pay. Then after they lost on Saturday night, he said the same thing in his press conference. And within 24 hours, Trent Barrett's the P for the job. So they've moved very quickly there at Belmore. Trent Barrett held a Zoom call with Lynn Anderson, Andrew Hill, Steve Price and a couple of board members on Monday. And it seems like he's the P for the job. I keep hearing, though, that there's some directors that are a little bit nervous about rushing into a decision. So I don't think one's going to be made today. I think it'll be more likely next week. And I think they need to go through due process. I'm a little bit unconvinced about whether it's the right move or not. I covered extensively Trent Barrett's final days there at Manly. It was very, very messy. And I'm sure Baz would admit privately that He learned a lot of lessons out of what happened during his time at Brookvale. He had to come back the hard way through, basically had nothing at all last year, and now as an assistant coach at Penrith, and we can see his influence there with the way that, that Penrith attacked. But, you know, Trent Barrett's football knowledge and coaching ability has never been in doubt, but there's a lot more to it in terms of being a head coach. And, you know, there was plenty of politics at Manly, and he couldn't handle it, and he walked out early. Belmore has more politics probably than any other club in the competition at the moment, as we all know and as we've been talking about at length, even though they keep saying it's not a poison club and everything's okay. I'm not entirely sure that's the case. So whether he can handle that and just put the blinkers on and coach Canterbury out of the darkness is the million-dollar question. I think it's going to be interesting in terms of retention and recruitment. There's already talk about Kieran Foran wanting out of the club. Some Canterbury supporters would wonder whether, given his injury issues, he should be re-signed. But he's been doing a lot of the coaching under Dean Pay at that club for quite a couple of seasons, and he'd be a loss for sure. I know that there's talk of him going back to Manly, but I keep hearing the Tigers are very, very keen on him. If they can move players and get their salary cap in order, he'd be great for that club. I know Adam Elliott's also been linked to the Tigers, and I think those two players would thrive under Michael Maguire. So, and the other rumour that there's a wild rumour going around last night that Nick Kotrick had actually signed with the Bulldogs. Now I sussed that out with Canberra, with the Bulldogs, and with his manager Sam Ayoub, and Sammy categorically denied that no deal had been done with Canterbury. So it wasn't just a denial; it was a categorical denial, and that's a pretty strong denial. So, but expect a decision on that in the next couple of days. So there's plenty going on at Canterbury at the moment.
Eddie Jones, can we touch on him again, please, Webby? 2023 obviously will be when that next Rugby World Cup rounds out in France. Eddie in charge of England. Will clubs wait that long to get their hands on Eddie?
So, Sean, there's been plenty of talk about Eddie and NRL clubs in the last few weeks. Firstly, it was about Cronulla. And then in the last few weeks, it's popped up about the Bulldogs. Now, I thought the Bulldogs rumour, I dismissed it like I had the Cronulla one, but it turns out there's a little bit more to it. So someone had actually met with the Bulldogs on Eddie's behalf, and as I understand it, with Eddie's knowledge about possibly going to the Bulldogs, it just so happened that it coincided with the fact that the RFU had insisted on him taking a 25% pay cut because of COVID. So I actually tracked down Eddie. I managed to squeeze a quote out of him, and he didn't deny that the talks with the Bulldogs had happened. But he said, mate, I'm committed to England until 2023. But as anyone who knows Eddie, and Sean, I'm sure you know this, he loves the game of rugby league. Mm-hmm. If you read his excellent autobiography that was released late last year, there's league references all the way through it. So you know, he grew up a South Sydney supporter. I think he's told plenty of people that he would love a possible start in the NRL in some capacity, likely as a coaching director at some stage. So I reckon it's not beyond the realms of possibility that it might happen after his contract with England ends in 23.
Geez, he'd add some nice niggle around those press conferences, wouldn't he, Webby?
It would be a journey.
Oh, man. You'll be licking your lips week in, week out, Webby.
Exactly. I'd just be Eddie Jones every week. I love it. I love the man. I love wacky coaches.
He's
a coffee machine.
He is great. Now, the coronavirus scares that we're seeing, what are your thoughts on how it's all being handled at the moment, Webby?
If you talk to anyone from the NRL, from Peter Volandis to Andrew Abdo to any club CEO, they will all tell you that most of their day is caught up in Zoom meetings talking about COVID and biosecurity measures, and it's just, it's like all-consuming. People will, you know, critics will say that the NRL is being reckless by rushing back and, you know, and forging ahead and getting crowds back and all that type of thing. But it's behind the scenes, they're actually as diligent as anyone when it comes to COVID. I don't think there were sort of mixed messages out of the NRL this week about them moving the whole comp to Queensland. Apparently, that was never on. So according to Andrew Abdo, who's the interim CEO and is expected to be appointed next month at the next commission meeting, according to Andrew Abdo, It would be much easier and more logical to move four teams from Queensland into New South Wales. But the flare-up in southwest Sydney in the last couple of days has certainly given them cause for concern, around 20 players and coaches who live in those areas. But they've locked down and they've taken hold and charge of it pretty quickly. So, yeah, I don't think there's going to be, unless there's a dramatic change in terms of the infection rate, I don't see there being any major changes to the way rugby league's played. But it's certainly causing a lot of angst out there in league land.
I've got a story for you to chase up today, Webby, actually.
That's what I like more.
Well, we had a caller today, Shane, and he was basically saying, well, we should have the Brisbane Bombers in. And then we started talking about with the Warriors, because if the status quo remains and there's no bubble between Australia and New Zealand and infection rate keeps popping up every now and again, and it more than likely it will, and we won't have a vaccine next year or until the end of next year, where does it leave the Warriors for next year's competition?
I don't know. It's very tricky, isn't it? I've sort of softened. I've been going pretty hard to these Warriors players who want to go home. And there's something that needs to be clarified as well with the Warriors. So a lot of the dialogue or a lot of the narrative is that those Warriors players were promised that their families were going to be able to come out, and the NRL made that promise. The NRL never made that promise. They couldn't make that promise. They can't make promises about, international borders. So, but I empathise if you've got a pregnant partner back home and you've been away for a few months, and I can understand why you'd want to go home. I'm not entirely sure how much pay you should be getting or not, because they've been well compensated and they've been looked after by not just the Warriors but the NRL. In terms of what happens next year, that's just a massive hypothetical, isn't it?
I do know
that Peter Verlandis, there's been a bit of mail around for a while, that Peter Verlandis is keen to announce the second Brisbane team in the next few months or so. And to do so will help try and secure an extended broadcast deal with Channel 9, which as it stands is done until the end of 22. The deal with Foxtel is done out to the end of 27. But I think that Verlandis is trying to push the point in terms of the second Brisbane team to try and secure Channel 9 to another long-term deal. So
do you think that could be brought forward?
The 17th team, but whether, if the Warriors can't, if they're not willing to stick it out for a whole season, which, I doubt many of them would, it's not the dumbest thing I've heard.
Got to leave it there, Webby. Thanks, mate. Have a great weekend.
I'll chase it up now.
Chase it up, Webby. Righto, champion.
Take an easy day. Thank you, mate.
See you, mate.